In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I wish you all a holy and blessed New Year. Today we celebrate the Feast of Epiphany, which just means manifestation. The Lord is manifest to the Gentile nations. Now, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph being the house of David, they see the Lord and you have the shepherds. But now with the Magi today, we celebrate, they represent the Gentile nations, that Christ came not just for the house of David, the Jewish nation, but for all of us, that we all may have salvation. Now for this sermon today, I prayed the Luminous Mysteries of the Rosary the other day, saying, ask the Lord, Lord, after I pray this rosary, just give me a little nudging from the Holy Spirit what I should preach about. So after the rosary, I came and read these readings for today. So here's my general theme, what I took from the readings for today. There's an invitation. We're all invited, sometimes explicitly, sometimes in a hidden way, of always being with Christ, always seeking Him. There's an invitation, but to answer that invitation, we have to give different things up. Okay, that's the general thing here. Now, so I read Isaiah, and right away it struck me. It says, rise up, raise your eyes, come from afar. Invitations, inviting us to do something. And then it says, then you shall be radiant at what you see. They could have worded that differently. You'll see something radiant, referring to the Christ child. But no, then you shall be radiant at what you see. There's going to be a transformation of soul and being that will take place in you by what you see. And then we have an invitation or command in the gospel. Go and search diligently for the child. Now to answer these invitations, raise up, that means you have to leave something lower to go up higher. Raise your eyes instead of focusing what's down, up. Come from afar, which requires travel and effort. Go and search diligently. So we have to give things up. We have to make mortifications. And we have to do without. Now in the gospel, we have King Herod. What does it say? So we have the birth of this child, the Christ child. And it says he was greatly troubled. Why was he greatly troubled? He was afraid that he was going to lose something. His kingship, his power, his wealth, his influence. And so he was so detached to the different things that he had that he went and had all the children that were boys or 2 years of age and younger murdered because he was afraid that he may have to lose his kingship. Now, little did he know, St. John says, but to all who receive him, that answered this invitation, he gave power to become children of God. Now think about this. Think about what Jesus Christ gave up, did without, to become a child. He gave up the consolations of heaven and became speechless, helpless infant, trembling from the cold there in the stable, born into utter poverty. But he gave up. He gives us an example. But he's asking us to give up different things so we could have heaven. He gave up heaven so we could have him here. Now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's reduced to his bed. It's just hay. It's incredible. And if we reflect upon that, we should really never complain about anything, should we? Everything that Christ has given up. Now imagine, this Christ child, our Lord and Savior, is born in this poverty. Let's say you're one of the next door neighbors right down the street, one of the innkeepers. What's so special about that child? And then you see these magi coming. They're dressed in their finery and they have these gifts and the camels. What's up with them? What are they doing? Most of us, if we were in Bethlehem at the time, we probably would not have gone to that stable to worship that child. Who are these foreigners, these out-of-towners? What's this little child being born out here in the cold? What's going on here? Most of us probably would not be inclined to worship that child. Now, the shepherds received a special revelation. The angels spoke to them. And they came. And these magi, the wise men of true wisdom, they received some kind of special light, the light of the star, but also some kind of interior inspiration to seek this child. Oh, and all the difficulties they went through. Now, it's easy to worship Jesus Christ in his splendor. Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration. They see Christ transfigured. Moses is there, Elijah. Yes, and they bow down and worship the Lord. It's good for us to be here. They build these tents of worshiping the Lord. But they did not have the same faith that the Magi did. The Magi were worshiping Christ in his poverty and not being able to speak. Think about St. Dismas, that saint who died on the cross right next to the Lord. He professes his faith in Christ when Christ is a bloody mess on the cross because of our sins. Think about the degree of faith that took. Now, in light of all this, too, we're called, worship Christ not in Bethlehem there, but in the poverty of his presence in the Eucharist. Think about that. That's the source, center, summit of our faith. And there are many Catholics, unfortunately, who have lost the faith, left the church because they cannot worship Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Now, and all these invitations that come, some are very explicit to us, you know, but there's many that are just real quietly that are given to us throughout the day. We'll talk just a bit more about that. But Benedict XVI says, you know, many of us today, this is a book called Light of the World. There's an interview that was done. It's just a wonderful book. I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet, but there's a theme that comes up several times about people doing without to gain something greater. Many times you feel like, well, to follow Christ, I have to give up this, but I'm going to gain so little. The Holy Father says this several different parts of the book. He said, the concept of penance, of doing without, is something we have increasingly lost. Another section, good endeavors. Different good endeavors often are rendered largely impossible by lack of willingness to do without. Another thing is that people are accustomed to a particular sort of life. And when this is threatened, they, of course, put up resistance. So King Herod, he was accustomed to the life that he had. There's no way I'm going to give this up. He was greatly troubled. Many times the gospel, we read different things, we're challenged to do something, and we feel threatened. We put up resistance. Maybe we have a neighbor or friend or somebody we find out that's in the hospital. I'm not going to give up my time to go visit. Or hear someone that's in a dire situation and you have the means and you hold on, no, that's their problem. Those are all invitations from Christ hidden, calling us to respond. Now there's a wonderful, wonderful book written by this Father Jean-Pierre Clissaud, a Jesuit from the 18th century. And he said, you know, many times when we do without, it really strengthens the soul. He says, what is deprivation to the senses nourishes and strengthens the faith. The less there is for the senses, the more there is for the soul. The less there is for the senses, the more there is for the soul. When we do without some of the things down here, we mortify ourselves and food and drink, we mortify ourselves and our speech, all these different things, it gives more to the soul. It feeds the soul and it gets stronger. And he says this is wonderful. It's really deep. He said, to discover God in the smallest and most ordinary things, as well as in the greatest, is to possess a rare and sublime faith. To discover God in the smallest, most ordinary things, as well as in the greatest, is to possess a rare and sublime faith. These Magi, the shepherds, demonstrate a rare and sublime faith, worshiping Christ in his condition in Bethlehem. St. Dismas demonstrates a rare and sublime faith, professing faith in Christ when he is on the cross. Now, in everything that happens in life, and all the difficulties, God is calling us to exercise our faith. And then he says, to find contentment in the present moment is to relish and adore the divine will in the succession of all the things to be done and suffered which make up the duty of the present moment. Some spiritual writers call it the eighth sacrament. The duty of the present moment, to find contentment in that. You go out into the car after the Mass, you can't get out right away, someone's blocking you. And that present moment is the sacrament being offered there of practicing patience. You know, all these different circumstances that come up with us. This is something I reflected this morning. It was in the morning prayer. Daniel, from the prophet Daniel, chapter 3. Listen to this. Seeing God in everything. This is what it says. Daniel chapter 3, verses 57, if you want to look this up and following, if you want to look it up later. This little excerpt. It goes, every shower and dew bless the Lord. Seeing God in that. All you winds bless the Lord. Fire and heat bless the Lord. Cold and chill bless the Lord. Dew and rain bless the Lord. Frost and chill bless the Lord. Ice and snow bless the Lord. Nights and days bless the Lord. Etc. Light and darkness bless the Lord. Lightnings and clouds bless the Lord. Seas and rivers bless the Lord. All you birds of the air. Seeing God's providence in everything at that particular moment. Now, it takes a rare, sublime faith to see this, but like, we're outside, and let's say you look up, you see some eagles flying overhead, or some birds. Somehow God is speaking to us in that particular moment, but it takes a deep faith to be aware of that at every single moment. I use this example, I think, at a weekday mass. You're coming over the bridge, about 20, you come to the intersection there, so you stop. There's a car to your right, car to your left, car to the other way. God has you there at that particular moment. He wants you to do some kind of good. So you can just offer like a little prayer from your heart. Lord, I ask your blessing upon all those here at this intersection. That's really, if you could take that little thought, start applying it throughout your life. Let's say you wake up 5 minutes before your alarm goes off. That could be your guardian angel, God speaking to you in that present moment. I want you to get up a little bit, mortify yourself, just a little less sleep. Really and truly. Or maybe this past week, Christmas dinners, New Year's dinner, maybe you didn't get as much dessert as you wanted. The other people ate it before you got to it. But God's speaking to that present moment to practice mortification of relinquishing that. See, if we could get in the habit of practicing that invitation of that present moment of grace, we could have a much greater, deeper peace of heart. You know? That's what God wants. He's the Prince of Peace. He wants His peace to dwell within our hearts. So one thing we could do here today at Holy Communion, when we receive our Lord, ask Him, Lord, I know every single moment you're speaking to me, speaking to my heart. Help me to be receptive. Help me to answer that invitation. Help me to do without that you're calling me to do without. Help me to be detached. Help me to look up. Help me to rise up. Help me to search you out diligently, as the Gospel writer says today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.